Good morning.
Good morning.
Okay, let's try again. Good morning.
Good morning.
Oh, you are awake. It is indeed a good morning because we are gathered together and God is present with us. If you're a guest among us, we are especially glad that you're here. We hope that you'll sign the attendance pads that are at the end of each pew and let us know who you are so that we can be in touch with you. I have a few announcements that I'd like to draw your attention to this morning. Our youth and adult mission trip celebration will be held this morning at 9:45 in McWhorter Hall, which is directly below the sanctuary here. They'll be celebrating all of the various mission trips that happened over the course of the summer, and we want to be there to hear about all of those wonderful mission opportunities. There will be food if that entices you a little bit more. If you haven't heard, we are raising money for our annual habitat build. We raise half the cost of one habitat house. And that cost is $30,000. We have currently raised $25,541. So if you don't do math very well in your head, I'm one of those folks, we still need to raise $4,459. This house will go to a woman named Danielle Beach and her family. If you're willing to help out with the remaining costs for the Habitat House, please mark Habitat on your check and place it in the offering plate, or you can give online at westendumc.org/givetohabitat. Our Andrew Ministry training will be happening next Sunday at 9:45 a.m. in McWhorter Hall. If you have the gift of hospitality and want to help folks feel welcome when they come here, we would love for you to join our Andrew Ministry team. And if you are a current Andrew minister, we would love to have you come to that training. We're going to be reviewing things, but also a few things are changing, and so we want everybody to be on the same page and get the same information. So next Sunday at 9:45 in McWhorter Hall. Registration is now open for Wednesday night meals, and you can sign up for that online or by calling the church. And finally, this is our last full week to register for the mindfulness workshop. The deadline will be August 21st. You can see your bulletin insert for more details. Now let us prepare our hearts and minds to worship God this morning.
Thank you.
to worship our God. We gather to follow Jesus.
Who encourages us never to fear, for he is here.
We gather to be filled with the Spirit.
Who anoints us so that we go forth to serve the world.
The deepest longing of our hearts is to be forgiven and embraced by our God. As we confess our sins, God speaks peace to us and makes us whole. Join me as we pray together in one voice, saying, in truth, God of silence and seas, we are more adept at making waves than calming storms. We find it easier to push people out of the boat rather than make room for those who are different from us. Our lives are such a whirlwind of activity that we do not notice your presence or hear your silence singing your shalom to us. Have mercy on us, God of patience. Grab hold of us to keep us from drowning in our oceans of temptations. Give us the words to speak of your hope to others. Fill our hearts with the love of Jesus Christ, which is nearer to us than we dare to imagine. Immediately, your sins are forgiven. Your life is restored, and grace becomes your guide through this life. Thanks be to God. We are not left alone, but take heart in the forgiving love of our God. Amen. Let us pray together the prayer for illumination. Lord, open our hearts and minds by the power of your Holy Spirit, that as the scriptures are read, and the word proclaimed, we may hear with joy what you say to us today. Amen. A lesson from the Gospel according to Matthew. Immediately he made the disciples get into the boat and go on ahead to the other side while he dismissed the crowds. And after he had dismissed the crowds, he went up the mountain by himself to pray. When evening came, he was there alone. But by this time, the boat, battered by the waves, was far from the land, for the wind was against them. And early in the morning, he came walking toward them on the sea. But when the disciples saw him walking on the sea, they were terrified, saying, "It is a ghost!" And they cried out in fear. But immediately Jesus spoke to them and said, "Take heart, it is I. Do not be afraid." And Peter answered him, "Lord, if it is you, command me to come out to you on the water." And he said, "Come." And so Peter got out of the boat, started walking on the water, and came toward Jesus. But when he noticed the strong wind, he became frightened, and beginning to sink, he cried out, "Lord, save me." And Jesus immediately reached out his hand and caught him, saying to him, "You of little faith, why did you doubt?" And when they got into the boat, the wind ceased, and those in the boat worshiped him, saying, "Truly, you are the Son of God." This is the word of God for the people of God.
Thank you.
part of our time for children, our blessing of our backpacks and preschool bags. You're welcome to come. You're welcome to bring a parent, a grandparent, a guardian, and come and join us here. So today we have before us backpacks, preschool bags, and even maybe some diaper bags that will be carried to and from schools and preschools by the children and youth of this church. These backpacks will contain work to be done, work that's been returned, books to be studied, tools to complete homework, notebooks, pencils, pens, crayons, toys, and other items used for schoolwork or preschool will find their way in and out of these backpacks. Someday, so many items will fill these backpacks and preschool bags that each child may find it difficult to walk. Other days, the backpacks may be light and nearly empty. But on each and every day, these backpacks represent that God is present with you. West End United Methodist Church cares about each child, youth, and adult who participates in our schools. And so as we go through our litany, the congregation response is printed in your bulletin. And as we bless these backpacks, I invite anyone in our congregation who is involved in the work of education to stand where you are during our blessing today.
Let us pray. O holy God, the time has come when school begins for this year. As these, your children, begin their studies, we ask a blessing on their backpacks, in which they carry the books and notebooks, markers and pencils that they will use to learn. O Lord of life and love, hear our prayer.
Bless, O God, all who will teach our children in the coming days and weeks and months. Give them wisdom to find inspiration for each and every child. Give them the energy and creativity and love that will make their work a blessing to our children. O Lord of life and love, hear our prayer.
Bless, O God, all school administrators, counselors, custodians, safety officers, food service workers, and school board members, that they may be faithful stewards of the resources entrusted to their care. Make them fair and merciful, able to do their crucial work with a spirit of grace and compassion. O Lord of life and love,
hear our prayer. Bless, O God, each one gathered here, that we will seek every opportunity to grow in our knowledge and love of you. In our Sunday morning groups for youth and children and adult learners, our covenant discipleship groups, our morning and evening Bible studies, our youth small groups, and our choirs for all ages, grant that we may see you more clearly, love you more dearly, and follow you more nearly. O Lord of life and love, hear our prayer.
Bless, O God, these children, those whom we have promised to love and nurture at their baptism. Keep them safe, keep them excited, and keep them ever seeking to learn and to develop their gifts. Grant that through their study they may gain the tools to grow in love, faith, and service all of their days. O Lord of life and love, hear our prayer. Amen. Thanks, guys. I finished writing my sermon on Friday afternoon. But after hearing the news reports yesterday about what happened in Virginia, I decided I needed to rework that sermon a little bit. So it won't be as polished as it might have been, but I hope it will be faithful. Will you pray with me? Oh God, may the thoughts that we think and the words that I speak be acceptable in your sight, for you are our strength and our Redeemer. Amen. If you haven't heard about what happened in Charlottesville, Virginia this weekend, let me fill you in a bit. A group of white supremacists marched on the main quadrangle of the University of Virginia's campus on Friday, and then again at a park in Charlottesville yesterday. Counter-protesters showed up both times, and violence broke out, which led to multiple injuries and at least 3 fatalities. One of the photos I saw of the counter-protests was of a group of clergy standing arm in arm. At once, I felt both proud of those folks who share my profession and also a bit ashamed. I felt ashamed because even as I cheered them on, I wondered in my heart if I would have had the courage to stand there with them. I wondered if I would have had the courage. I thought about my safety and how frightened I would have been to go face to face with people who were shouting hate and inciting violence. Would I have let my fear overpower the call to do the right thing? To stand up in the face of evil? Earlier this week, as our Tuesday Bible study groups discussed our text for today, I told them that this passage convicted me. We were talking about Peter and his decision to step out of the boat and walk toward Jesus. He and the disciples were in the middle of this boat in the middle of a storm, and they saw Jesus coming toward them on the water, and they thought he was a ghost. Jesus said to them, "Have courage, it's me. Don't be afraid." We don't know what the other disciples thought, whether or not Jesus' words did comfort them, but it's clear that for Peter, Jesus' words weren't enough. Peter needed proof that Jesus wasn't a ghost, that he was the real deal. I told the folks at our Bible studies that this text had really made me think about whether or not I would have the courage to step out of the boat and walk toward Jesus. In fact, it really made me think about the risks that I've taken for the sake of my faith lately. And the truth is, I can't think of one real risk. I've managed to create a life in which I don't need to step out of my comfort zone very often. And let's be honest, that's a privilege I enjoy because I am a well-educated, middle-class white woman. So when those images of the protests flashed across my screen this weekend, I couldn't help but wonder, would I have gone? Would I have taken the risk and stepped out of the boat? I thought about Peter's experience, and I wonder what motivated him to step out of that boat in the first place. Maybe it was his curiosity. Maybe it was his doubt. Maybe it was just his adrenaline kicking in, his flight or fight response. He was either going to confront a ghost or discover that it was indeed Jesus walking toward him. Whatever his motivation, Peter took the risk and began to walk toward Jesus. Wouldn't it be cool if that was the end of the story? That would be a great ending, right? Peter bravely stepped out of the boat and confidently walked toward Jesus. Cue the dramatic music and the film credits. If only Peter were a movie-worthy hero. But he wasn't. He was a real person, with doubts and fears like the rest of us. Peter took his eyes off of Jesus. He looked around and realized what he had just done. He actually stepped out of a boat in the middle of a storm and walked toward what he thought might be a ghost. And so he began to sink. How many of us have had that experience? We've taken a risk, we've got our eyes on the prize, we're focused on the goal, and then we realize what we're doing and we allow our fear and doubt to take us off course. When I was a kid, my parents gave me a bike for my birthday. It was beautiful. It was purple and white, it had tassels hanging from the handlebars, and it had a white banana seat with anchors on it. As you can imagine, I was so excited to learn how to ride that thing. And so my dad went out with me, and he held onto the back of the seat as I began to pedal. As I gained more confidence, I began to ride faster and faster, and pretty soon my dad had to start running to keep up with me. I felt fantastic. I was riding my bike. But after a few moments, I realized that I didn't hear my dad anymore. I glanced behind me, and he was half a block away. And as soon as I realized that he wasn't with me anymore, I fell over. I could tell that my dad was trying to conceal a smile as he pulled me up from the cement and gave me a hug. In the same way, I picture Jesus chuckling to himself, trying to conceal his smile as he pulls Peter from the water and says, "You of little faith, why did you doubt? Silly Aaron, silly Peter." Jesus could have easily condemned Peter for his fear and doubt. Others certainly have. Jesus could have ridiculed him for his lack of faith or given him a lecture about how worthless he was as a disciple. After all, Peter couldn't even recognize and trust his friend. But Jesus didn't do that. "You of little faith," he said. Little faith. Not no faith. Not bad faith, but little faith. Mustard seed faith, perhaps. Not faith without fear and doubt, but faith that's willing to take a few risky, scary steps and then cry out for help when the going gets tough. And you know what? That little faith is what enabled Peter to recognize Jesus. Peter's willingness to step out of the boat is what gave him the eyes to see who Jesus really was. And it's what allowed the other disciples to witness Jesus' saving work and worship him. I think fear can either paralyze us or motivate us toward action. And I know that my natural instinct is the former. Deer in the headlights would probably be a good description. But what if the only way we can really recognize Jesus is if we step out of the boat? What if the only way to grow in our faith is to take a few risky, scary steps out of our comfort zone? Professor Clifton Kirkpatrick quotes Ernest Campbell, who is a former pastor of Riverside Church in New York. Ernest Campbell said, "The reason that we seem to lack faith in our time is that we're not doing anything that requires it." Kirkpatrick goes on to say he was right. The key to faith and fullness of life in Christ is to follow Peter's example and be willing to step out of the comfort and security of the boat and head into the troubled waters of the world to proclaim the love, mercy, and justice of God that we find in Jesus Christ. Being a disciple is risky and exciting business, he says. But that is exactly what God calls us to do and be. And God assures us that if we get out of the boat, we can count on the accompaniment of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. A number of years ago, our church stepped out of the boat. If you've ever been down to the lower level of our building, you might have noticed a plaque on the wall. It's pretty inconspicuous, and I probably passed it about 50 times before I ever stopped to read it. But here's what it says. "In this space, on November 14, 1994, the first patient was cared for by the volunteers of the Interfaith Dental Clinic. On our 20th anniversary, we thank the members of West End United Methodist Church for faithfully serving God by helping the working poor live healthier lives." I had never heard about West End's involvement in the founding of Interfaith Dental before that, and I was curious to know the story, so I asked around a little bit. I learned that a dentist, Dr. Tom Underwood, had the idea for the clinic. He was a member here at the time, and he had gone with our church on a number of mission trips to provide dental care for impoverished people. But he began to wonder why Nashville couldn't offer the same thing here at home. Why couldn't Nashville dentists get together and offer dental care? They would need a space out of which to operate, though, and so they began to explore what it would mean to base the clinic here at West End. I learned that while many people here at the church supported the idea, it wasn't all smooth sailing to get the idea approved. Concerns were raised about the church's liability, about how many people would be coming in and out of the building. Conversations were had about whether or not the church should take on that risk. But as one person reflected, it was a risk. And these decisions are never easy. But we can't let that stop us from doing what we're called to do. And they didn't. A couple of years after the idea was first proposed, the church council finally approved the plan, and the Interfaith Dental Clinic was born. Today, they have two clinics that serve a 10-county region in Middle Tennessee. Last year alone, they had almost 13,000 patient visits, and the work they did relieved the mouth pain of over 1,500 people. And all it took was a little faith and a group of people who were willing to take a few risky steps. So here's the really hard question. What are our next risky steps? Maybe you're ready to join peaceful protests or risk being arrested for justice. Maybe you're ready to take on major risks for the sake of your faith. If you are, I am so glad that there are people like you in this world. We need you. But if you're like me and you're risk averse, what can we do to step out of our comfort zones? I don't think that we have to do anything crazy or dangerous right out of the gate. I'm not talking about skydiving for Jesus here. Maybe we could work up to that. But what if we could do one thing this week to take a baby step out of the boat? What if we could tell an acquaintance our faith story? Or simply sit with someone in their grief? What if we could befriend a struggling single parent? Or sign up to tutor children in a local school? What if we could object when someone says something racist or sexist or homophobic? Or what if we could actually stand up to someone who's being a bully? What feels risky to me may not feel risky to you. We all have different fears, and honestly, I don't know that we're all called to take the same risks all the time. But I do know that the vows we have taken and that we affirm every time we have someone baptized is that we will accept the freedom and power God gives us to resist evil, injustice, and oppression in whatever forms they present themselves. So what if, instead of allowing our fears to paralyze us, we let our faith guide us, as little as that faith might be? The truth is, it's much less scary inside the boat. And if we step out, we might look around us and start to sink. But what if, in our sinking, we're able to recognize the one who walks on water? And he reaches down to save us. And he turns our terror into praise. I think I'm ready to take the next step. How about you? Would you stand as you're able and join me as we affirm our faith together? We are not alone. We live in God's world. We believe in God, who has created and is creating, who has come in Jesus, the Word made flesh, to reconcile and make new, who works in us and others by the Spirit. We trust in God. We are called to be the church, to celebrate God's presence, to love and serve others, to seek justice and resist evil, to proclaim Jesus, crucified and risen, our judge and our hope, in life, in death, in life beyond death, God is with us. We are not alone. Thanks be to God. As forgiven and reconciled people, let us exchange signs of reconciliation and love. The peace of Christ be with you.
And also with you.
We welcome all who gather to worship with us here today. And if you are a guest among us, we want to extend a special word of welcome to you this morning. And we are truly glad that you are here. And we hope you will join us for coffee and fellowship in Reed Hall through the doors to your right following our worship service. Our Andrew ministers would also love to greet you and answer any questions that you might have. They'll be stationed in Reed Hall and also in the narthex at the rear of the sanctuary after the service. And you can always find them by looking for their blue name tags. In the pew racks in front of you, you'll find a gray card, and we invite you to use that to record your prayer requests there. And you can indicate whether you want those to be shared or whether you would prefer for them to be confidential. Simply place the card in the offering plates as they are passed down the pew in a few moments. Also, please take a moment to record your attendance with us by passing the attendance pad you find near the center aisle down the pew if you've not already done that today. As the pad is passed back down the pew, we invite you to take note of those who are worshiping with you and greet anyone you may not know at the end of the service. This morning, we have several prayer concerns to lift up. First, we want to continue to be in prayer for the family and friends of Rodney Bragg, who died on July 31st. Services were held this past Thursday, August 10th, at Trevecca Nazarene Community Church. We also lift up Linda and John Murdoch, who are mourning the death of Linda's mother, Mary Elizabeth Crockett, who died on August 9th in Alabama. And services were held there this Friday, August 11th. Among her survivors are her grandchildren, Carolyn and John Murdoch. Also, we need to mention the sudden and unexpected death of West End member Jerry Edwards, who was visiting his sister at the end of the week in Kentucky and unexpectedly died. And some persons in family and friends knew Jerry as Mac as well. So we want to remember Jerry's friends and family at this time. And finally, we lift up a world that is hurting right now, a world that sometimes speaks too easily about violence and death and war. And we also lift up those persons caught up in the violence in Charlottesville. And we remember that we come to decry our longtime sin in this country of white supremacy and violence against persons of color. Prepare us now to hear you speak to us, loving God, as we lift up both our silent and spoken prayers. God of wonder, we come before you in prayer as people called into radical faith. You beckon us out onto the deep waters, and you call us to put our whole trust in you. Although the winds are strong and the waves are rough, we know you will not let us go. You are God of all creation. From the mountains to the seas, we pray for this earth that we call home. And your presence is revealed throughout.
Help us be better stewards of this wondrous gift. Merciful Lord, who ministers to the crowds, we pray for all persons across the globe. And may your love and healing be known among persons near and far. And when poverty and greed and violence and oppression and injustice seem to rule the day, may your reign of justice and righteousness overcome. Good and gracious God, we lift our voices with Peter as he cries, "Lord, save me." You are the one who sustains us, and we pray for all of those who may be sick or hurting in body, mind, or spirit. Be with them, Lord, and be with each of us. Strengthen us in faith. And when we've reached our limits and our courage fails us, help us know that you are present to us in all things and at all times. God of Spirit, you are our guide and companion. Draw us ever nearer to you and one another. As we pray, as Jesus taught his disciples, saying, "Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen." As people of God, we are called to step out in radical faith. And we give our tithes and offerings as one small part of this journey with God.
Thank you.
go forth this week to take a few risky, scary steps out of the boat. May we go knowing that the love of God, the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, and the communion of the Holy Spirit go with us, now and forever. Amen.